Hey, boys and ghouls. Welcome back to another episode of Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. If you're here on YouTube, you can see that I'm back. No more of just the audio with some gameplay footage. I'm here. If I'm doing this correctly, there should be some gameplay footage here. If you take a look, so I can get my weatherman on real quick. You can see here, this is some Fallout 3 gameplay. My favorite game ever made, and we're going to be talking about my favorite. Look at that. See that over there in the distance? Isn't that nice? We're going to be talking about my favorite game ever made in just a moment. Big news, big things coming. I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys are playing Starfield and enjoying it. There's so many things to talk about, good and bad. Oh, I haven't been this excited in a very, 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 very long time, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. Honestly, I don't even really know where to get started, so I'm going to save the biggest news for the end of this beginning segment, but I want to talk about Microsoft as a whole. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to support in any way, and I mean any way whatsoever, consider checking out the Patreon. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice gets heard in our weekly polls. I want the show to grow. I want it to get bigger and better. And one of the biggest ways you can help, not only monetarily, is just by sharing this with a friend. Shoot it to a friend. Put it on Reddit. Say, hey, I like this podcast. They talk about Fallout. Something small. Even a thumbs up helps. Anything that you can spare, just a moment of your time, I appreciate from the cockles of my heart. I love you. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Now, I get most, if not all, of my gaming news from Kyle. Kyle sent me some tweets, some salacious details. Let's just go straight with... This is from Rhino the Bouncer on Twitter. Huge leak. New Xbox Series X refresh models is coming. The console is cylindrical shaped, all digital, which I'm not a huge fan of. A 2 terabyte storage. USB-C front port with power delivery, Wi-Fi 6E support, Bluetooth 2.5 radio, 6nm die for improved efficiency, 15% less PSU power, direct connection to the cloud, and a launch price of $500, a new controller, more immersive controller codenamed Sable, S-E-B-I-L-L-E, two-tone color scheme, direct connection to the cloud, Xbox Wireless 2 connection, precision haptic feedback, VCA haptics, double as speakers, quieter buttons, which actually is playing Starfield, I've noticed, has been like hella loud for no reason. A rechargeable, swappable battery, modular thumbsticks, lifted up to wake it. In the long term, console customization could be achieved by 2030, but not yet fully funded, and a new Elite controller. Microsoft is doing some crazy stuff, and I was having this conversation at work the other day. There is a genuine possibility, and it scares me, but there is a genuine possibility where they monopolize the entire market. If Sony doesn't hit it out of the park with, like, the next 3 to 5 exclusives, I don't think we'll be seeing a PS6. Maybe we won't be seeing a PS7. Or we're going to be seeing it at a completely different capacity from what we see now. Microsoft wants to buy Nintendo. There was, and the FTC leaks, a bunch of stuff that that Microsoft had to submit to the Federal Trade Commission got leaked that shouldn't have been leaked, that it was not for the public to see yet, but somehow the public have seen it through these leaks. It was a massive leak. Microsoft wants to buy Nintendo. I don't think Nintendo will sell to Microsoft for the sheer just Japanese integrity of, like, this is us and this is what we're doing. Like, I feel a Japanese company would not sell to an American company that is of its size, its stature, its pedigree, its heritage. I think we might see a time where certain Nintendo games go on Xbox. I think we might see Xbox, Microsoft games on Nintendo platforms. I do not think, not in a million years would I think we'd see Mario Party. We will not see, like, Mario Wonder. You might even see the older games on an Xbox. They're going to have to cough up an exuberant amount of money to pay for Nintendo. And maybe they have it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, we want to buy Nintendo. Here's $150 billion. I know there's a couple companies that have a trillion. technically, so I think it's like three of them, and I don't think Microsoft's one of them, but I could see Microsoft being like, we're willing to wager everything on this. This isn't good in the long run. It's just we're going to buy the competition. It's making me kind of excited that I own an Xbox, to be completely honest, because I know that there's good stuff on it, and there's a bunch of other stuff on it, and it's made me want to like buy Xbox games and buy older Xbox games. I've been really in the mood to play Halo 1. It's so goddamn good. I just want to play it again. Thinking about getting some friends together and buying a couple cheap controllers and just, you know, buying an LC pizza, little C's, maybe getting a couple of brews, some Dr. Peppers, just having a good old time. But the thing that I want to talk about the most is my favorite game of all time. What I consider to be a top, my favorite game, a top 10 contender, a top 5 contender, a top 3 contender, a top 2 contender, and I'll tell you right now, it's not number 2. There was a title release schedule. This comes from Wario64 on Twitter. It was rumored a little while ago that we were going to be getting a Oblivion remake remaster, which I've never really played Oblivion. I think I played maybe an hour of it, and it didn't really meld with me. I never really got it. It's cool if that's your game. I'm not big on Skyrim either, but we're going to be getting an Oblivion remake remaster. And because of the leaks from the FTC, we got a little bit of a breakdown of what Microsoft and Bethesda were kind of shooting for. So in the year 2020, it was Doom Eternal and DLC, Elder Scrolls Online Greymoor, Fallout Wastelanders, Deathloop, Fallout Shelter Online, and Project Worldwind. Right? You know, those things happened. Then in 2021, it was projected we were going to get Starfield, Elder Scrolls Online expansion, Redfall, Doom Eternal DLC, Ghostwire Tokyo, Fallout Worlds from Fallout 76, Project Hibiki, Project Ubu, and Project Wanderer. Now, Starfield didn't come out until 2023. As we know, it came out not even a month ago at the time of this recording. But COVID happened, and nobody expected that, right? By 2022, they expected Indiana Jones, the Oblivion remaster, is on this list. Elder Scrolls Online expansion, Starfield DLC. So they expected about a year later we would be getting DLC, which made sense. It's kind of what I predicted. I thought maybe by like December we'd get the first word of it, and then by like February, March we'd actually get it. But then we get to 2023. Right? And 2023 is this year, and it's some stuff that we haven't really seen. Doom Year Zero and DLC. I haven't played the new Doom, so I don't know what Year Zero is. But DLC with it. Project Kestrel, Elder Scrolls Online expansion, Project Platinum, and one planned title. Then 2024 is when everything gets a little exciting. Something that I've been wanting since like 2015 is on this list. Elder Scrolls 6, not that one, but Elder Scrolls 6, it was projected to come out in 2024. There's an interview with Microsoft or Bethesda, and they wanted to release Starfield in 2021, and Microsoft said, no, wait, release it later. It was supposed to come out in 22. The game got delayed, and it came out this year, right? So Elder Scrolls 6, they wanted to release in 24. I don't think we're really going to be getting it to like 28, genuinely. I think it's going to be about 4 years behind. Project Kessel expansion, licensed IP game, don't know what that is. But then after that, Fallout 3 Remaster. Elder Scrolls Online expansion, Ghostwire Tokyo sequel, Dishonored 3, Doom Year Zero DLC, one planned title. Fallout 3 DLC. Fallout 3 Remastered. There are so many people who have not played Fallout prior to Fallout 4. This is the absolute right step in the step in the right direction. This is a game where I actually just watched a Mr. Matty Plays video just to kind of catch me up on all of the leaks and all of the stuff that had happened. And man, a Fallout 3 remake or remaster could just like I don't ever have to stop playing this game, man. I play this game for the show. I play this game in my leisure time. Next to me, I'm going to pull it out because I'll do any excuse I can. My copy that I got on my 11th or 12th birthday that Wes Johnson has signed. Like, this game, mwah, 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 I love this game. Oh, I love this game with my entire heart and soul. And to think that it's going to come back, and it's a remake remaster, so it does stay. Doesn't say what it's going to be. It could just be, hey, we updated the graphics. Now it kind of looks like Fallout 4, but it still has the same controls. We fixed some bugs. We maybe did a couple things. But even if they did something like, hey, we added Creation Club paid mods, and we added mod support, and now that there's like a definitive version, everything comes with the DLC, who knows? Maybe they could do new quest lines. Maybe they could add base building. Maybe they can add customizable robot like we have in Automatrons. Maybe they could add that you could own your own raider group. Maybe they can add all these things. Maybe they could add like extra dialogue. It's not like they can't get Wes Johnson on the phone. I am so incredibly hyped for this. Like, I haven't been this hyped for something in such a long time, and it's still 3 years away. The Fallout show, I briefly mentioned it last week. The Fallout show is going to be getting a teaser trailer that's already leaked. And in the Mr. Matty Plays video, he said it, and I don't know how the hell I didn't think about it. It's probably going to release on October 23rd. It makes the most amount of sense to release it then. Get the trailer October 23rd, and then it'll be like, October 23rd, you can expect the show February whatever, or next year about this time. And then the show's out for about a year. It lives off of that. Then after about a year of that, in 2024, 2025, hey, you're gonna get another Fallout entry. It's the same game, but it's an updated version. I am so, like, make it $70, put a bunch of new, like, little quirks and things to fix it. And I'm good to go, bro. I'm so good to go. I never need to play another game. I have 7 copies. No, I'm sorry, 8, because I have one in my living room for my Series X. I have 8 different copies of Fallout 3. Actually, it doesn't count. One of these is a DLC pack. 2 of these is a DLC pack. Anyway, I'm trying to collect every pressing that I can find of this. And my dumbass didn't buy a French pressing when I was in Paris. But I have it here, and I'm so excited, and, like, this is arguably one of the biggest leaks in any sort of media. Like, I would say this is bigger than... The only thing I could equate this to is the Fappening, but this is the biggest leak ever, and it's, like, just nothing but good news for me. Like, I feel like it was a leak for me. Like, here's these big open-world games, and you're gonna hear more about them, and you're gonna hear every... Like, sometimes I worry, like, am I going to run out of things to talk about on this show because these games take 10 years to make? And if they remaster Fallout 3, they're just going to remaster New Vegas. They just will. Imagine New Vegas in better graphics. Imagine New Vegas with better gun control. Imagine a New Vegas that comes out on a day where it's not just a buggy mess instantly. I'm so happy you guys are here for this with me. I'm just so very excited for this. This is huge news. This is so big. I love it. I love you. Ah. All right, guys and ghouls, we got to get on into the lore for this episode. And before I can talk about the lore, I have to thank the Patreon. Now, I said it earlier in the episode, if you like the show in any capacity, consider checking out the Patreon. It's not mandatory. You can change your pledge at any point in time. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard, because every week I ask a poll for what the lore is going to be. And if you like the show and you want to see how it gets made, you kind of want to see how the sausage is getting made every week, you could join the $10 tier, the filmed live before a studio audience. The show gets filmed live before you. You are the studio audience. And like I said, you can change your pledge at any time. But if you just want to, you know, you like the show, times are tough, inflation is out the ass, I get it. You can say, hey, to a friend, check this out, put it on Reddit. You know, shared with another Fallout YouTuber you like, another content creator you like. I'm always down to do something with some people. There's actually someone who I really want to message that I'd like to talk to. I have to thank some people. Some of the people that have been contributing to the podcast, to the Patreon, I have to thank them. So starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Again, thank you to Captain Lennox. The show is entirely made as a work of love for a game, a series, a franchise, and a community that we have fostered. So if you can, consider throwing a couple bucks to the show or just joining the Discord and hanging out and having a conversation. I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you for your support. I love you. So I want to talk about Fallout 3, as you could probably tell. My favorite game of all time. And there are just... I normally don't, when I put the poll in the Patreon, to say, hey guys, what do you want to talk about? I normally put a couple of options and I say, hey, do you want to talk about this? Do you want to talk about that? What would you like to talk? And I just didn't ask anything more than Fallout 3. And it was, do you want to hear about the robot human or the human who hunts the robots? So if you want to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, consider checking out the Patreon, because from the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard when every week I put a poll in the Patreon for the Patreon members that you can vote on what you want the next week's lore to be. And by way of Patreon, this week's lore, I bring to you the Mechanist from Fallout 3, and by extension, Fallout 4 a little bit. Now, I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. And there's something I want to read directly off the wiki just to get us started. It's kind of an introduction to who the Mechanist is. If you don't already know, Fallout has its own universe of superheroes called the Unstoppables, kind of like the Avengers, comprised of the Silver Shroud and the Mistress of Mystery, Manta Man, Grognak the Barbarian. I feel like I might be missing one other person. And one of the biggest ways that we get to see who the Mechanist is, just from a gameplay standpoint, just from a way to say, okay, hey, this is going on, is through Kent Connolly's Silver Shroud radio broadcast, where we get to hear a little bit about a Silver Shroud adventure, and the big bad at the end of it being the Mechanist. So this summarization on the Fallout Wiki, I feel like, says it perfectly. The fictional mayor of Boston in the 2070s is a man by the name of Mayor Murphy. In the Silver Shroud radio series, the mayor of Boston believes that humanity was weak and should be replaced by his own army of robots, subsequently styling himself as the Mechanist. Included in his army were a mobster, Fat Fahey, and a group of mob bots, wishing to take down the crime fighter, the Silver Shroud. Mayor Murphy created a robot version of himself and set the robot to meet with Fat Fahey and die, in order to lure the Silver Shroud and the Mistress of Mystery. The two investigated the mayor's death. They discovered that he and his accomplices were robots serving the Mechanist. When they arrived at the Mechanist's lair, within a warehouse, he successfully captured both with plans to kill the Silver Shroud and the Mistress of Mystery. However, the two crime fighters were freed by one of the Mechanist's own creations, a mob bot that had gained its own sentience, and with it a hatred of its creator. The group fought and destroyed the Mechanist's own robot army. In a last-ditch effort, the Mechanist attempted to kill the Silver Shroud with the Silver Shroud's own silver submachine gun. However, the Silver Shroud deflected the bullets, resulting as the bullets bouncing off of him and hitting the Mechanist, fatally wounding him. As he died, the Silver Shroud unmasked him, revealing the identity of Mayor Murphy. So you have this character, you have this fictionalized character, you have a person who is fictitious that people have latched onto 200 years later. I don't like the Marvel movies, but I understand why they're culturally relevant. I understand why people gravitate to them. I understand why people want to see the good guys win every single week, because I understand what makes the bad guys cooler. like, Mr. Freeze is one of my favorite bad guys of all time because he's just a guy who's like, I miss my wife, Batman, my wife. And he's just, especially if you're going from like Batman animated series onward, not like the original stuff. Not that it's bad. It's just that's when he gets fantastic. Mr. Freeze is just, I'm sad. And I want someone to feel the hurt that I feel. I want my wife back. And the Mechanist is someone that people have latched onto because of their love of fiction, because of them finding these old comic books and reading about the Mechanist and discovering who these characters were for other people in a past world. That brings us to Scott Bean Walensky, a man in Canterbury Commons who controls robots and fights against his arch nemesis, the Antagonizer, who the Antagonizer is actually an antagonist from the Grognak the Barbarian comics, all while in the ironclad one-to-one suit of the Mechanist, the armor from the bad guy in the Unstoppable series, and the heroes from the Unstoppables. Now, Scott's parents were humble little bean farmers that they grew beans and sold them to various traders to make a living in the post-apocalypse. At the age of 15, Scott's dad sold him to caravaners in hope that he would have a better life. So imagine hitting 15, really knowing how to, you know, grow beans and reading comic books all day. And all of a sudden your dad goes, hey, kid, time to ship up and shape out or whatever. Shape up and ship out. We sold you for beans. You're now the bean boy because we've sold you for beans. And they sold him for beans and he was a slave to the caravaners. He got the nickname Bean because of it, because he was traded for the beans, and he would later go on to buy his freedom and settle down in Canterbury Commons. He becomes free as a man. When you meet him in the game, he is 40. So there's something I really want to point out. If you've done the Superhuman Gambit questline, you might know that the Antagonizer and the Mechanist are at odds with each other. And the Mechanist, being the good guy in this somehow, even though he's modeled after a bad guy, he wants to protect Canterbury Commons. This is a 40-year-old man who is cosplaying as a 200-year-old, probably older, character. But there is also the Antagonizer, a 27-year-old woman who's one of the only psychers in modern Fallout. So she's crazy. And she's dressed up as an ant and can control ants with her psychic abilities. And they are fighting with each other, and when you meet them, when you first happen upon them in Canterbury Commons, you really get a sense of just like a genuine, like, two people having a good time. Like, you can tell that they, like, even the people in town are like, oh my god, Scott's at it again. And they're like, oh yeah, that's the Antagonizer. Like, we're a society of people, and this is what we deal with, dog. Like, just... I appreciate, like, the whole... It's kind of what I imagine having a kid is who's really into anime and gets dressed up for the anime con, and you're trying to be a supportive parent, and you're like, yeah, Inuyasha, that sounds like fun. You're like a cat and a wolf? Who's... Kagome? I love this quest line. I love these characters. So some of the things that can affect the Lone Wanderer after dealing with the Antagonizer or the Mechanist is that he will attack the Lone Wanderer if he finds out he has worked with the Antagonizer or even suspects it. You can keep both of their suits of armor. You can get both of their weapons. There's a YouTuber that I used to love back in the day, like 2008, 2009, 2010, when I was playing Fallout 3, like when it first came out. I think his name was Orca Prola or Orca Pro. I found his stuff once. Like, there's an episode with me and the previous host where I talk about finding this dude's videos. I'd love to have a conversation with him, too, because I feel like I've watched all of his Fallout stuff. But I remember watching his video on how to keep both of the rewards from this. He's not even allied with the robots in his repair shop, so if they fight him, they'll kill him. If you convince him to retire, he'll just walk away, and you can follow him, and if you follow him, he goes directly to the Antagonizer's back door. If you try to talk to him, he just says he wants to be left alone. Accidental depression mode. Love it. Female characters with the Black Widow perk can choose an additional dialogue option to acquire the Mechanist's costume peacefully. Male characters can use the Child at Heart perk, which convinces him to give up his position as a superhero. If you wear the Antagonizer costume around him, he will attack. So that's pretty much everything I have on the Mechanist from Fallout 3. But if you've played Fallout 4, you might know that there was the Automatons DLC, which added the Mechanist from Fallout 3's concept into Fallout 4. So I want to read a little bit about that. Now, Isabella Cruz, not really a ton is about her, but I want to read her bio quick that's on the Fallout Wiki. From the Fallout Shelter Online, because it doesn't make sense, but that's probably because it's translated poorly. But also, there's just a wild statement on there that I didn't know was a thing in the Fallout universe. I mean, it makes sense, but like I just didn't know it was like a thing. So in the Fallout Shelter Online biography, it says, before calling herself the Mechanist, she was just an ordinary girl who talked to robots on the autism spectrum. When everything turned into nuclear dust, she selflessly sent her robots to rescue survivors on the wasteland. Soon, this group of robots came to a rational conclusion. Death is the best relief for humans in the wasteland. It seems that the Mechanist had to provide after-sale services to prevent this group of dedicated robots from reliving humans of their past. So, she's autistic. At least in the Chinese canon. I didn't think that that would ever be something that would be brought up in a Fallout game, but hey, this is where we are now. So Isabella Cruz, the autistic machine woman from Fallout Shelter Online and Fallout 4, was inspired by the comic book she read as a child to become the Mechanist and wanted to make the Commonwealth a safer, better place and made robots that would defend other people and clear out raider camps. Because of an error in the logic loop of her robo-brains, the robots would attack any kind of human, and this made a blanket call for help in the wasteland. That's really all I have on her. The thing about the Automaton DLC is that it's kind of lacking in the sense that you don't really get a story. You just kind of, you get a small one, and it's a lot of just go here, go there, go here, go there. Now you're in her lair, you can use her stuff. The big thing is that you get to mess with making robots like Cogsworth. My Cogsworth in my game is an Assaultron. Like, or not an Assaultron. He's a complete sentry bot, and he shoots like mini nukes and has a skull for a face. That's really cool, the fact that I can just take any robot and turn him into a death machine, and I can just have a robot companion that's just pretty much a Brahmin, like a mechanical Brahmin to carry stuff. I like that. I don't remember how much it was because I did buy the season pass, but still. Isabella Cruz as the Mechanist has unique dialogue if the sole survivor is wearing the Silver Shroud costume doing the final confrontation. This can be combined with the holotape access method to gain access to more unique dialogue. If the sole survivor decides to let her live, she will remain at the lair, but she does not count as a settler and does not require any resources, and she can't be moved to another settlement. I remember in mine, I didn't really ever use the workshop, but I have her there. She also shares a bunch of the same traits as Scott Bean, Walensky. They both have a skill with robots and sought out to make the wasteland safer, but actually cause more harm than good. They can both be spared and realize their outcomes of their actions and seek out to heal what damages they caused, and they have hidden bases seemingly in normal locations. That's pretty much it. I just thought it was wild that Fallout Shelter Online said that she was autistic, making that like a canon thing, I guess. This is not a thing that I think about when I think about Fallout characters, is their disabilities. I'm not even sure if autism is considered disability. If it is, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that offensively. It's a character that's really cool. It's a character that fleshes out the world. It's a character that makes another universe inside of a universe that's already great. But that is all I have for you on this week's lore. Hey, gang. Welcome to the third segment. I say it almost every week, but it's a top three segment, man. It really is. It's going strong. How are you guys doing? How are you enjoying the face cam? I hope the gameplay is still working back here. I hope I didn't just like shoot myself in the ass and say, look at this gameplay. Look at that. Look at him go. Should be where about the Lone Wanderer is. Look at him go. He's a good little man. How are you liking it? How are you guys enjoying Starfield? I haven't really played a lot. I did finally get to Aquila. I'm not going to ruin anything, but I'm really taking my time. And I think I'm on like 18 hours and I just got to Aquila City. I did a little jumping around, did some other side quests out in the galaxy, but I feel like I've done so much and done nothing at the same time. Like, I feel like if I don't get 6 hours to play, then I had none to play at all. It's a game that I'm going to be playing for like 2 years. I'm going to be playing this until the Oblivion remake, and I'm finally going to play Oblivion, and then the Fallout 3 remake, and then Elder Scrolls 6, and then Fallout 5, and then Starfield 2. And it'll be 2048 by that point, and I doubt Todd Howard, Pete Hines, or Emil will even work at Bethesda anymore, because they'll be ready to retire with their billions of dollars. I'm just having a good time, man. I've been eating a lot of Waffle House lately. I've been trying to get back into therapy. I've been calling around trying to see if I can get into something, which I know it's not like a great thing to talk about all the time, but you know, I feel like we should. And also, I just feel like we should talk about it because there's a ton of people that are probably hesitant to go. You know, some people think that therapy is only for crazy people, and it's not. It's the farthest thing from. But, you know, if you want to go, you should go. I'm just like, you know, work's been rough, but when isn't work rough? Like, I'm trying to not doom and mauled about the state of the world right now. But, you know, what are you going to do? It is a certain way, and that's okay that it is a certain way, but it doesn't negate my feelings on things. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I've been watching therapist videos. I've been watching stuff about mental health just because, you know, if I don't have the access to a therapist, and this goes for everybody, I think everybody should do this. If you don't have the access to a therapist, I feel like you should try to go out and find ways to better your habits or better your coping skills or better something. And there's like a lot of research apparently lately that coping skills aren't that good for you because they don't allow you to process things. And I'm incredibly guilty of saying all the time, it is what it is. There's even an MF Doom line that I love that's, it is what it is and it ain't what it used to be. And to me, that was radical acceptance. To me, that was saying, okay, the world sucks and we're going to get over it and we're going to go from here. Turns out that's really, really bad for your brain. Your brain doesn't allow itself to be hurt. So if your friend, let's say your friend stops hanging out with you because of a girl, right? And I know this is like really petty stuff, but this is the first thing I could think of. Let's say a friend stops hanging out with you because of a girl, real high school shit, right? And instead of you being upset about it and just going, it is what it is, you don't have the time to process that. Your brain just goes, oh, no, it's cool. Like, I don't want to be one of those people that's like manifestation, because I don't think that's entirely real. But I think that, like, if you listen to more positive music, if you try to have a more positive disposition, if you try to see the silver lining in things, it'll help you. And that's something that I'm, like, kind of learning now. And that's the thing about trying to deal with yourself mentally is that you have to constantly learn. And if you're not constantly learning and you're not constantly open to new things, then you're doing yourself a disservice. A lot of people get into therapy and lie to the therapist because what they live in is easier than trying to fix themselves. And, you know, you can just say something to the therapist and the therapist goes, okay, you seem like you're making a lot of progress. Because I'm only letting you in 5%. I'm only letting you in 8%. I'm only letting you in 9%. You know, it's hard though. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here. I'm not trying to talk down on people that aren't talking to the therapist or, you know, even their friends. Like, I was watching something on people who are incredibly self-reliant. And, you know, it's, you can't be. You have to ask other people for help. And that's something that the original host and I had conversations with a lot, especially when it came to the show, that I was like, well, if I can't do something, I don't want to do it by myself. And their dad was a chef and was like, yeah, but my dad relies on a whole team of people every single day to cook food for other people. And I always took that as like, yeah, we're making a podcast. We're not cooking for people. And like, I get what they were saying at this point, but it's just like, you know, growth is something that takes time. Growth is something that takes reflection. And a big thing that I have is I can't just like look back on myself and say, hey, you did it and you did it correctly, or you just did it. Like I always look at it as you just did it. It wasn't a big deal for me whenever I graduated high school because it's something you're supposed to do. It wasn't a big deal for me when I did the show for 5 years because it was something that I wanted to do. It is a big deal. It's a big deal that I hit X amount of subscribers. It is a big deal that I moved out to Colorado from my hometown. It is a big deal. These are things that I should have taken pride in and I didn't because I felt like, well, you know, everybody does it. It's what you have to do. Didn't mean to get all therapy on you guys. Sorry. I just hope you're well. I hope you're enjoying the news. I hope you're enjoying Starfield. I hope you're enjoying your life. I hope you're doing something that makes you happy every single day. I hope you're talking to people that support you, people that bring you up in life, and I hope you're being easy on yourself, and I hope you're being good to the people that are good to you. It's really everything I have for you this week. Thank you for joining me again. In the description is a link to the Patreon. If you have a dollar to spare or just some time to share the show around, I'd appreciate the hell out of you if you could do that for me. I just want the show to become as big and as great and as powerful as it can be. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers, and all of his free music is at silvermansounds.com/free music. But my song that I use is called Feather Duster, which you can find on his site. Link in the description to the show's Twitter, my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. There's also a link down there to the Redbubble if you'd like to support in a smaller way. Again, thank you to the Patreon. I love you guys. I love everybody who watches, man. I really appreciate you guys for checking it out. I hope you guys are excited for something as I am for the possibility that in 3 years we could be seeing Fallout 3 again. I love you very much. Thank you for joining me for episode 272, and I will be seeing you next week. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.